Today is a very blessed day, especially for priests, especially parish priests such as myself, because it is the feast of the patron saint of parish priests, Saint Jean-Baptiste Marie Vianney, the Curé d'Ars. He was born in Dardilly in the year 1786, right in the middle, or right at the beginning of the French Revolution, the horrible French Revolution. The Masons who tried to destroy the church, they destroyed the monarchy, at least in part, but for the most part they did, and they tried to put away the Holy Catholic faith. The few that they allowed to have some kind of a facsimile of the Catholic faith were priests that would swear allegiance not to the Pope, not to the church, but to the government. And those days are coming back. And of course, we know exactly where our allegiance is. Now, St. John Baptiste Marie Vianney's family, though a poor farming family, a very big family, they also knew where their allegiance was. Not to the government, and to the government of false evil men who had killed the king and the queen, but, and they were killing priests and nuns right and left, ultimately in the hundreds of thousands, and in the Catholics that were killed in the millions. It's not anything to laugh at in any way. There was a bloodbath. Paris was washed with a river of blood in the streets of Paris, which has been promised again before the end of time. And I wonder why. But they kept the faith, as many, many people in France, especially not only in Paris, which many did, in hiding, but also in the countrysides, which we know about the heroic efforts of the Catholics and the Vendée, about which we hear very often. But there were many others besides. And so they made their house and their barn acceptable in every way. They cleaned it up and opened it up for any priest that would come at night, in the darkness of the night, to be able to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And it was in such a guise that Saint Jean-Marie Vianney made his first Holy Communion. And he should have been able to go to a regular school and to the seminary right away, but all of that was gone. But later on, at the beginning of the 19th century, and God uses, just as God uses those things in mysterious ways, God used also that little Corsican, who was himself a Mason, but his heart was not in it, Napoleon Bonaparte, to bring back the church. So he wanted to have the blessing of the church, even though he took the Pope hostage and prisoner. And he boasted to the Pope, "I am going to destroy the church." And the Holy Father laughed in his face and said, "My son, we have been trying to do so for 1800 years and have not succeeded. You think you can?" And so it would be true. And so Napoleon eventually made a concordat with the Vatican and a treaty of peace between any country and the Vatican, which is in itself a country, is called a concordat, an agreement. And religion was opened up, even though not as much as it was before. And St. Jean-Vianney was able to start going to the seminary. Well, he was already in his late teens or early 20s, with very little or no schooling. He did not know Latin or Greek. He barely knew French. It was extremely difficult. They made fun of him, as I'm sure they will be making fun of somebody else this coming school year, when this 28-year-old former Marine comes to the seminary. And of course, he thinks he's got it made in the shade. He has some surprises coming to him. Anyway, and I will enjoy every one of them. Anyway, but St. John Vianney didn't have that advantage. And so it was decided by the bishop, the Archbishop of Lyon, in whose diocese this was, and D'Ardigny was in the Archdiocese of Lyon, and by the priest of Ars, Monseigneur Ballet, that Monseigneur Ballet would take him to his rectory and let him live with him, and basically he would become his apprentice. And of course, before the Council of Trent, that's the way young men learned how to be priests, in the rectories, in the parishes, as apprentices. And so he began, and then he was able to pass all his exams, even in Latin, because at that time the exams were given in Latin, the lectures were given in Latin. This only stopped in the 1960s, which was a terrible mistake, but that is the way it was. So he was sent to be the companion, the curate of Monsieur Ballet, Monseigneur Ballet, and until he died, which is a terrible blow to Father Vianney, and then he was sent to the most abject, desolate, abandoned parish in the diocese, the little village of Ars. When he came to his church, there were chickens roosting in the tabernacle and hay all over the altar and all kinds of other things, God alone knows. And immediately, he rolled up his cassock sleeves and began to sweep and clean, and he found an old lady who was supposed to be his housekeeper, but she could barely move, but she helped him too. And then little by little, and then he rang the bells. He rang the bells. And people wondered, what is going on? The bells are ringing. And so they wandered in, wondering if somebody stealing the bells. And then they found that there was this young priest that was just ordained. And from there began a very long journey until he died in 1859. In the meantime, His Holiness grew so much that he began to perform miracles. And he blamed them all on Saint Philomena, a newly discovered saint whose body had been hidden in the catacombs, and then it had been found during the papacy of Pope Pius VII. And she became very popular, and Saint John Vianney blamed her for all the miracles that most likely he was performing. And so that began. But you know, nothing good goes without problems. Also began horrible attacks from the devil. He called the devil Green Claw because he could see him like a dragon coming at him. And people would hear in the night things in the rectory that were... And of course, in those days, they had the windows open. There was no AC. They could hear furniture that was being tossed from one room to the other, including Father Vianney. And he conquered the devil. He sent him off. But he was not happy at that. So he concocted a lie, a calumny against him. Some young lady in his parish had gotten herself in an interesting situation, and they tried to blame him of being the father of the creature. And of course, no way, that was not possible. He was so holy, none of them could even touch him. And so, of course, eventually the truth came out. In the meantime, he prayed and he suffered. He prayed and he suffered. You cannot imagine how much he suffered. So if you think you're suffering, multiply it by 1,000, by 100,000, and then you will maybe approach the horrible suffering of St. John Baptiste Marie Vianney. And then he began to hear confessions. He went to the bars of the town. They were alive and well when he came, not the church. And he began to throw everybody out. And he absolutely forbade dancing because he thought it brought about other temptations against the flesh. And so some of these people absolutely hated him. Others loved him. And the devil, of course, was making use of every one of those things. So he encouraged everybody to go to confession. Now, most of them had not been to confession. This is already in the 1820s. None of them had been able to go to confession since about 1789 or 1790. It was forbidden. And so imagine the years and the sins and sins and sins and sins. So St. John Vianney spent many hours every day in the confessional. So you know who hated him even the more, because he took away all the souls that he was taking with him to hell. And Green Claws was not happy at all. And so many people began to experience spiritual and even physical healings, which he attributed to St. Philomena, that the word spread out, and even in Paris, Napoleon and the Empress came to visit him. And a railroad was built from Paris to Ar, which was a nothing village. It's like building a railroad to Baker or Cantonment or some little forsaken little town. And yet they came by the hundreds and the thousands and the thousands. St. John Vianney, after being honored in many ways by the Pope and the Archbishop, which he didn't want, but he got it anyway, he died, like I said, he died on August the 4th of 1856. I think that's the day 1859. My eyes are wandering. And he was eventually canonized, beatified by St. Pius the 10th, canonized by Pius the 11th, and made the patron of parish priests and confessors. So today, we have a very, very, very special saint who is very, very useful to us for his intercession, for his miracles, and as we fight in our own lives the temptations of Satan, who comes in all shapes and forms. One thing about him, though, now he ate basically rotten potatoes. He would not eat anything fancy, and he would put them in the board, in the cupboard, whatever they had. No ice, no ice box. And even sometimes they were growing, and they were green, and he would have them cut up and boil them, and that would be his dinner. And his cassock was full of holes, and it had to be mended all the time till there was more mending than cassock left. But when it came to the altar and the church, he built a beautiful chapel on the side of the church in honor of St. Philomena, and the most beautiful altar cloths. And then he went to Lyon, and there he found the very best vestments that money could buy, and people would give him the money for them, and he would make sure that there was nothing but the best on the altar for God. And so we must never think, well, God doesn't care and we should give it to the poor. No. We take up from ourselves to give to the poor, but we do not take from God. God must always come first. So today we pray for many reasons to St. John Baptiste Marie Vianney to intercede for us, and I have been devoted to him since I was just a little boy, and I recommend the best biography of him that you can find. It's very long, very thick, but very beautiful. Is by Abbé Trochu, T-R-O-C-H-U. You cannot find a more interesting and more beautiful book than the life of St. John Vianney. May he intercede for us. May he intercede for me and for all the priests. And I beg in a very special way for our vocations from St. Stephen here, in particular, Brother Aaron and Brother Jake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.